Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or Hamel Broadcasting.
Good morning, all, and welcome to Happy Hour here. Jenna Spilbor, Carol Pesci. This fella, and I've mentioned it before, that they let tag along kind of like a little brother.
or a big brother.
Well, actually, I don't know. Well, yeah, sure, you got to bring up the age thing. I didn't say a word, lady, okay? The person who's infamously been 29 for most of the years of our show and then suddenly became 39 for another portion of the years of our show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
I am the baby of the group. I'm just going to say I am.
Oh, yeah.
There's actually truth in that.
Yes. Yes. That is correct, Carol. You have that right. So, all right. So we are here for a show, and we are also now in the past, in the last couple of months, we've had some fantastic guests, and we've run a couple of them a couple of times because they've been so good. That is the way that we present it to you. So, you know, we try to say possibly hide our laziness. I'm just kidding. No, there were very good shows. It is also still the summertime. God, it's so depressing, though.
I know.
To know we're going to say September in just a few days. I hate that.
It always makes me sad when I start seeing advertisements for the Dutchess County Fair. I'm like, no.
Nothing against the Dutchess County Fair.
It's just not at all.
Yeah, that time of year, it's like, no, please. Back to school, son of a... Oh, come on.
Yep.
We have had some very good guests recently, and I know that we have talked to Dr. Lombardo again, and that was just a couple of months ago. And I think we're gonna revisit that interview in segment number two today, right?
Yes.
So she's been a regular on the show. We love her. She's brilliant and helps us understand complex things easily. And her most recent book is what we talked to her about. It's called The Mattering Advantage. And when you read the description, you might think it really has to do with somebody who is in a leadership position, but not necessarily. It's how we can help people feel like they really matter and the benefits in all parts of our lives to that.
Okay, cool. So we will be heading back to take a listen to that interview again in just in our second segment, like I said. And Jenna, you have once we figured out our whole group text snafu last week, which took us forever. I think actually what made it easier was if I just became a different person. You know,
I don't even think it's your fault, Frankenberry. And I don't know if the snafu is 100% officially fixed. It's because of technology, you know, and you being the odd man out, you refuse to buy an Apple product, I guess.
Well, no, it's not. Jenna, I've never owned an Apple product. I don't want I'm not going to buy one now. I like my Android products. I've been very happy with them for many, many years. I also recently dropped a carrier that I've had for many, many years. And I'm saving quite a few dollars. So I'm happy about that as well. Is that why I did what?
Is that why you switched carriers, or did you get like mad and, you know?
I was just like, you know what? I'm going to see if it's possible to save a couple of dollars, because we all need to save a couple of dollars these days.
So, yeah, why not?
I just searched some avenues, and that was one of them. So, but no, I'm very happy with my Android. So, no, I'm not getting an Apple phone, and I'm sticking my tongue out at you.
Okay. You're not doing a tongue out with a raspberry, like thumb?
Well, no, I don't want to get it all over the microphone and stuff.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Well, there's that, but we do have it somewhat fixed. And let me ask you this. Did you get any of my earlier texts this morning? Because there's two very important things I want to talk about today.
One
being a miraculous kitten story. Did you get that text?
Yes, I was looking. Though you did mention before we went on the air here that it was like a woo-woo story, which I will look forward to this story though with bated breath because you called it.
But it
woo-woo.
Does involve cats, Frankenberry. So
it does. Yeah. I should be okay with it.
Yeah. Right. So you'll love it and hate it at the same time. I have to share. I don't think I'm over exaggerating the miraculousness of this story when I tell you.
Okay.
So on July 24th, so about say 4 or 5 weeks ago, right? I was in a cat trapping frenzy, if you will, because you might remember that there was a day that I had trapped 5 cats in one day, 4 kittens and 1 very ugly old cat that had infection and all this stuff. And at the time, my friend Kim, who I refer to as Kim the Cat Lady, she was helping me do this. And she's just amazing. She's from Stray Help and she's just an amazing person. And who recently she's been kind of under the weather, a lot under the weather. But I digress. So I had captured a bunch of these cats. And I think it was maybe like the following week or whatever. There were 2 more adult cats that were hanging around and I was attempting to trap them. So here's the woo-woo part. So we're talking about a month ago. I set a trap and one of these 2 adult female kittens, female cats, and I know that they're both females because one is the original female who started my whole life spiral, downward spiral with
Punky?
These cats. Punky, one was Punky.
You trapped Punky?
No, I was trying to trap Punky. Punky has an adult offspring and these 2 were the only 2 cats after I captured all those kittens that were still hanging around. Now Punky, she's just too smart for everybody. And I did try to capture her and it didn't work out well. And she hasn't shown up. She's like giving me the cold shoulder. She's ghosting me. She won't return my texts, my calls, nothing. Right. But this other one still hangs around. So this second adult cat, I set a trap. And this cat, and I remember it was clearly, I always do this on a weekend morning, it was a Saturday or Sunday morning, went in the trap. The trap closed. I was very excited as I was running in to get, you have to, when you're trapping cats, people will probably know, you got to immediately cover the trap to keep them from freaking out. It really does calm them down. And so she's in the trap. I go running in the house to get a blanket or a towel, whatever, to put over the trap. And as I'm coming out of the house with the blanket, this cat, for the first time ever, figured out a way to bust out of a closed trap, which is impossible to do, right? And I remember being so disappointed. So I texted Kim the Cat Lady at the time, and I texted her. I'm like, you're not going to believe this, but I just had an adult cat bust out of a closed trap. And in my text, I say, I didn't even know that was possible. Well, she wrote me back and she's like, that's kind of lucky because we don't have any vets available for Monday. So I would have ended up having to like keep this cat for a week before they could do anything. And I thought that was lucky enough. Okay. At the time I'm like, okay, well, all right. I guess it's good that she broke out of a completely closed trap. Okay. That's what I thought.
Okay.
Well, here's the woo-woo part. This morning, 2 kittens, and I mean tiny. So I'm used to seeing a lot of kittens around my house, and they're usually, when I see them, by the time a mother brings them up, they're no less than 2 months old, maybe between 2 and 3. These are smaller than that. Okay, so let's go with they could be maybe 5, 6 weeks old. This mother that I had trapped, who busted out of the trap a month ago, has brought up kittens that look to be about 5, 6 weeks old. So let's do that math, you guys. Had I successfully trapped her, those kittens would have died, like little 1 or 2 week old kittens. They would have died. Now, here's if you don't think that's woo-woo, think about it.
Well, I was doing the math backwards. I was sorry for laughing. I was thinking that they were going to be born in your house. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Well, I had the 4 and 5 weeks in backwards.
That's what I'm thinking is, oh, I see what you mean, because she had already had the kittens. They were outside.
And they needed her to come back.
Yep. She didn't look pregnant. Okay. When I captured her, she didn't look pregnant, right? So they would have been like 1 or 2 week old kittens, and they would have died without her, even if I had only, you know, captured her and she would have been gone for a few days getting fixed.
Yep.
They surely would have died. So this was the universe intervening. And if you don't, you know those stories that they say, like a mother can lift a Volkswagen off her kid or something, yeah, like if the kid, yeah, gets it.
Oh.
That was the feline equivalent of that. She busted out of a trap that you really can't bust out of as a cat. She's not even a big cat, but she's an adult cat. And that was the whole universe, God, whatever, get it, figuring out that this was not supposed to happen when it was happening, and fixed it so that nothing bad had to happen. And I am just like, I am amazed by that. I am amazed by it. And
well, that is quite something else. And I will go with the fact that that is some wonderful woo-woo.
That is. So see, so you're, yes, not all skeptical and all falling asleep while I'm telling a story and all that.
Well, no, I'm still skeptical and falling asleep when you're telling stories. It's just other crap. This is a different story.
But of course, now I have the, you know, the cycle once again. Now I've got two new little kittens that have come up for the first time. And how this usually works is once I see them once, I tend to continue to see them. And of course, unfortunately, both of the little kittens are ugly. So I'm not going to fall in love with them.
Yes.
Or name them.
Yes, that's
or
right.
Name just them.
Keep telling
I'm not
yourself
fall
they're
in love
ugly.
Or name them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But here we go again.
Please
minus issue.
The White Snake song. So.
Right.
But yes, well, yeah, Punky, that is one smart, hearty cat. That cat just giggles at you. It hangs out like
it wasn't Punky.
Right. Well, Carol was talking about the fact that Punky, I think Carol was mentioning the fact that Punky again escaped yet another trap.
That trap to Punky is like spike strips to us. Like we would avoid it like the plague. Punky's so smart. She's like, nope, peace out. And she won't even come around. Like she literally was like, I'm out of here. And she moves on. Like she's really a gypsy, that cat.
Well, she also knows that you go through phases, like the cat traps don't come out all the time. So she just waits for the times where you're not bringing the cat traps out again.
That is true. So now we'll see what happens with these two little ugly cats that fortunately for me, they're ugly. So that's good.
Right. Yeah, it's very important that they're ugly.
Although I have gotten very good at trapping the non-smart ones, the little ones.
The cute, yeah, stupid ones.
Yeah. So that is that. I also have another little life update, because I think we talked about this last week, that I've been doing some rearranging. You know, it was like birthday, new moon, full moon, eclipse, like just had me kind of oddly nesting in a way that I just wanted to rearrange everything in my house. And,
right. Now, now this is the part where I'm going to like nod and fall asleep.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Gotcha. I'm just making sure that I'm on the right page. Go ahead.
Most of the men listening can do that. But so as part of my little redecorating frenzy, I moved the dining room table away from the front door area and put it where a dining room table would much rather be. And I turned the front door area into a wine lounge. That means that for anybody who's been following along for the last 14 years, I no longer have what we were calling the Amazon package staging area. And for the uninitiated, that's where all my Amazon packages would come and rest in that area on the dining room table where it once was, and sit for days or weeks until I had the time to open them and then get rid of the cardboard and put everything away. I mean, it's like a job when you have as many Amazon packages as I do. So now I come home the other day. I've got my usual 18 Amazon packages on my front porch. with no place to stage them. And I'm going to say this is actually a blessing in disguise because I was forced to take the time to open them and put everything away without staging for 3 weeks. And I'm kind of happy about that, although it is a little time consuming.
And it'll probably save you some money in the long run because you're probably going to order less.
No, no, no. What I'm going to do, you know, you can like consolidate your orders, right? So you'd be like, okay, add it to Tuesday's order, bink, add it to Tuesday's order,
yes.
Bink. So yeah, they'll all come maybe instead of having a bunch every day, I'll have a bigger bunch once a week, say.
Okay, know? Which just takes you that smaller bunch combined time to do it that once a week time, which you're not going to have the time for.
But if I'm already unloading the Amazon packages, I mean, what's the difference if I need an extra 10 minutes? You know,
that's my math.
That's yeah,
my
but that's not going to be the way that you're eventually going to look at it. You know that.
Well, then where am I going to put all? Where's my new staging area going to be?
Again, Carol, can we go back to the fact that she could save some money and start ordering less?
I don't see that happening.
No. Here, this, you know, you guys probably haven't been following along, and this is a little bit apples to oranges, but it's kind of reminded me of it. So recently, Facebook, which is owned by Meta, had a big lawsuit because it, you know, it sucks kids in, even it sucks adults in too, because I buy a lot of stuff off the Facebook. But I think
just because it's Zuckerberg, right? I mean, that guy should be sued every day anyway, just for fun.
Yeah. And he actually settled for like $16 billion, but I digress. But here's something that Amazon is doing that I think I should start a class action lawsuit about, the lawsuit, because here's what they do. If you haven't noticed, let's say you place an order, right? And then if you're like me, I place an order and then throughout the day, I'm like, oh, I forgot this. Oh, I forgot that. And then you go back on the Amazon and it'll say, hey, do you just want to add it to the order you already have coming? And then you click, yeah, add it to the order. And here's the problem with that. You never really see how much you're spending. It like hides it. Because when you place your original order, it'll be like, okay, $464 right, coming on Wednesday, right? And you can be like, oh, let me take this out. Let me take that out. You just start adding it to the order. You don't do that math. That math equation is like broken. So your order just went from $464.
It's free. When you add to existing order, it's free.
It's totally free. And I think that's a problem for people like me who have to buy a lot of stuff. Have to.
Right.
Or they'll die.
That's exactly what they're expecting.
Right. So it's pretty sneaky.
It and is.
I think it could be against the law.
It's not.
It's not?
No. Them somehow being responsible for the fact that you are irresponsible is not their problem.
But that was the Meta lawsuit, and Meta just settled for $16 billion. So I think Jeff Bezos owes me at least $1 billion. That's what I think. Because that's about what I've spent since Amazon was discovered. Yes. Mm. So that's all the... one more update. Did I tell you this? Did I tell you this? You guys know I'm going...
This is a bonus, Carol.
And neither one, Frank and Barry. Well, no, never mind. One was a complaint. One was a complaint. I was like, neither one's a complaint.
That's fair. Oh, yeah. You guys, I did tell you that I'm taking a little weekend, quote unquote, vacation.
Yes.
This coming weekend. And I did tell you that I bought a hidden camera detector, right?
What?
A hidden camera detector?
No, remind me, where are you going this weekend?
Okay. So me and my cousins are going on a girls trip to Ocean City, Maryland.
How fun.
And it's sort of, yes. And I haven't gone, and I'm calling it a vacation. It's really only 4 days, leaving on a Friday, coming back on a Monday. So really 2 days plus travel. And so my cousin Marla planned the whole thing. It's sort of like a little belated birthday excuse for a trip, which is great. But she's done the trip a million times before. And I obviously haven't, because my last vacation was January 2010, but I digress. So she has always like traditionally stayed in an Airbnb. There's like a condo building that's right on the beach. I don't love the Airbnb concept. I'm much more of a hotel girl, but I'm going with it. I'm going with the flow because also on the Amazon, I found a little gadget. It is so small. It's like maybe the size of a like a lighter, like an old cigarette lighter, and it will detect whether there are any hidden cameras wherever you're pointing it.
Wow.
And not only that, so it detects whether there's hidden cameras. It will detect, you put it on a different mode, it will detect whether there's like a tracking device on your car. And then there's a third mode. This is actually really cool if you're kind of traveling alone. A third mode, Jeannie Kelly, our good friend Jeannie Kelly would love this. A third mode, you can hang it on the doorknob, and if somebody opens the door, it goes off like an alarm. Really kind of
cool. Oh my God, we need to get that for her for Christmas.
We absolutely do. And I tested it in my house because I have cameras in my house, right? And it works off like the radio frequency. And sure enough, as soon as I got like kind of near the camera, and that thing goes off like it's going to wake the dead. It is loud.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm bringing it. And how much do you guys want to bet? We can bet good money right now that I know I'm going to find a freaking camera. I just know I am.
Really? You think every person who rents out their home puts in a camera, a hidden camera?
Yes.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I know. Hmm. All right. So would you like to make a money wager?
I bet no.
You bet there's going to be no camera.
Inside the house?
Inside this condo. It's a three-bedroom condo on the beach that's traditionally rented out as an Airbnb. It's not like, you know, the host. Could you imagine if we show up, you're like, hi, I'm your host. Like, no. Yeah. So I'm going to go sweep the whole place, you guys. I'm going to sweep the whole place. So, Carol, if there is no camera in the whole inside the whole place, I will give you a $25 Amazon gift card.
Okay. I'll take it.
Okay. Frank Benary, do you want to get on board? You want to get on board?
He agrees with you.
I already agreed with you, so I'm already on the other side. I'm good.
Okay.
So and then what do I owe you if you find one?
All right. If there is a hidden camera in that condo, then you, Curly Pesky, will owe Frank and Barry a $25 Amazon gift card. And
I was just going to say, what's
in it for me is I get
you to get to be right.
I get to gloat for like 10 minutes on our next show.
Like you wouldn't have already gloated about it anyway for 10 minutes on
right.
the next show.
Yeah, but I need permission to do that.
All right. Look, that's fine. Carol and I will, you know, in the sitcom kitchen, I'll tell Carol it's okay. She doesn't have to get me the gift card. But right here, I'll agree.
Oh, but I'd be happy to. So
it's quite all right. Thank you.
I'm curious now. Yes.
Okay. And you guys will know, because I'll tell you what, if I find one and I feel confident that I'm going to, I will video the discovery and the blaring sound of this device, and I will send it to you so that Carol, you can start getting your gift card ready for Frank and Barry. that'll be that.
This will be interesting.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Mm-hmm. I know. I am very, very curious. And it better be.
So here's the question. If it's like just in the general like living room area, not like in the bathroom or the bedroom, does it really matter?
Yes. So, and that was, I was just going to say the same thing.
Frankenberry. I dropped it. Neither one of you picked it up.
Oh.
Well, I was waiting. I was getting ready to just step in there. And then I don't remember the guests. I don't remember this, you know,
the mattering advantage.
Oh, the mattering. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. That was your connection. Okay. Very well done. But go ahead, Carol.
No, that was it. Doesn't really matter.
Which means you go ahead. Continue.
That means that John was done with her story. Are you done?
Yes.
She definitely is done. Okay.
Mary's like, I'm pulling the plug on that. When we come back from the break, we will be rerunning an interview with Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo about her book, The Mattering Advantage.
All right. That sounds good. We've got happy hour. You've got happy hour, I should say. John Spielberg, Carol Pesci, and their little brother tag along, Frank and Barry. And we'll be right back.
Donna and Carol on K104. It's happy hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's happy hour with Donna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here. Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, this guy who's important because he introduces Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci, and also because he gets to introduce really cool guests. And we've got Doc Lombardo back with us today.
Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, and I just called her, and she's been on the show probably as many times as Jeannie Kelly, who's also one of our favorite people. And I just got corrected because I wanted to be respectful and formal, and no longer can I call her Dr. Lombardo. She is Dr. E. But anyway, she is
the call me Dr. Lombardo, but you have to be on my couch. So,
okay, fine. She is a clinical psychologist. She's a certified master coach and physical therapist. She helps people get out of their own way and create a life they love. She translates complex neuroscientific research into bite-sized actionable steps you can take to have less stress, greater happiness, and even more true success. She has, you may have seen her on Today Show, Good Morning America, Dr. Oz, Forbes, New York Times. She's also buddies with Shaquille O'Neal. He calls her head coach for happiness. And she is here today to talk to us about her newest book, which is called The Mattering Advantage, Unlocking Human Potential to Optimize Performance. Dr. E, welcome back to the show.
Yay! It's always great to be here. Thank you.
We love you. You always bring great energy, and you like to play silly with us, and you always bring great knowledge. And this is what I was saying off air before we started, is part of your brilliance is that you can take things that are seemingly complicated, and sometimes they are, but you present it in a way that makes us go, wow, okay, that makes sense. And you've already done it. I'm just starting out reading your book, which I have promoted in the earlier segment, that yes, it is for leadership, but you talk early on in the book about how the same concept can help reduce stress, low self-esteem, depression in anybody and young teens. You give that example right away. So tell us, what is the basic premise behind your latest book, The Mattering Advantage?
Well, thank you very much. I'm really excited about this. I feel like every time we write books, it's like another child. So here's my newest baby. And mattering, like the term, whether we've heard it being bounced around or not, I assure you we will be hearing a lot more of it, because I think this is the next biggest and greatest movement. But mattering very simply is when we feel like we add value to others and others add value to us. And I first learned about it, I'm on the mental health task force for teens in my town. And I was listening to someone talking about some of the research that's overwhelming, that when people feel like they matter, anxiety and depression go down, not from medications, not from therapy. There is a time and place for both of those, but just by mattering. And then I had this client who, he's basically like, you know, the big wig on all varsity sports in our town. And he's also a client of mine because I do a lot of sports psychology. He was struggling with anxiety and depression. And I asked him our first time together, I said, when is the time when you didn't feel all of this distress, what I call the red zone? And he said, when he was working, there's a camp here, it's called Camp Hope, where they pair up a teen with a young person with developmental disabilities. And for the entire week, they do everything together. They eat together. They go to the camping outings together. They sleep in the same, you know, area. Everything is together. And this guy told me, he said, I felt no anxiety or depression when I was doing that. Why?
Wow.
Because
wow,
he felt like he mattered. How often are we comparing ourselves to others? How often are we second guessing, am I good enough? How often is that inner critic saying, you are, you know, not good enough, you are a failure? Well, when he was helping this young person, he didn't hear any of that, because he knew he mattered. He knew that what he was doing was making a significant impact. And he was not second guessing himself, because he could feel how much his effort and time and energy was impacting this incredible person.
Wow. Dr. Lombardo, this is Jonna. So this is interesting, because he felt like he mattered to one person.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? Not to the world, not to his family, not to yeah, one single person. And that,
and here's the interesting thing. That's great, right? One person. But here's what I want people to understand. We actually don't even need to have people who feel our mattering. Because part of mattering is how are we serving others? But another part of mattering is, how am I serving myself? How am I connecting to my authentic self? I was having a conversation with a client the other day who wears one of those Aura rings. I do not get paid to say that word, but Aura ring. And And she was saying how she was doing some art, like a painting project. She was engaging in a hobby that she loves, but she's not really good at. But she was completely focused on this and just, you know, in the flow state. And she looked at her Oura Ring, and it was basically the same output physiologically as what happens when she meditates. That's mattering also. When we apply our strengths, our values, what makes us excited, what makes us unique individuals, that's connecting to what I would call our authentic self. And that's when we matter too.
Wow.
That makes sense in the sense that it really does come down to how we feel about ourselves. Yeah. Right? Because if you're depressed, chances are you're feeling maybe less worthy.
Of course. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if depression
is life is horrible, I'm horrible, and it's never going to get better. Those are the three cornerstone thoughts of someone with depression. But when we're looking at how am I mattering, how am I contributing to a cause greater than myself, that's where mattering can come in. And we can do this in any time. So I'm talking about working with kids. I'm talking about this individual and doing a hobby. But looking at how can we apply this in our lives? There's a beautiful story about when President John F. Kennedy went to NASA and they were trying to get working on getting a man on the moon. And he saw this gentleman pushing a broom around, a janitor. And the story goes that the president went up to this individual and said, "Hey, what do you do here?" And the gentleman responded, "I'm helping get a man on the moon." He was doing as mattering. And so, what does that mean for us? Okay, so not all of us are helping get someone on the moon, but what are you doing and how is that making an impact? Not because of likes on social media, maybe not even because people are saying, "Hey, good job," but internally, how is what you are doing mattering to you, to others, to nature, to a cause greater than yourself? And we all can do that because that really is about just looking at what's important to us and how are we making an impact.
And getting out of our own heads and looking outward. Why are we here? What do we bring to the table? And it doesn't have to be huge. It can be a simple act of kindness. It can be a simple thing to look around us and how can we have a positive impact on somebody else, right?
Literally holding the door for someone who is behind you. Looking in their eyes, thanking the barista, like sincerely thanking them for your drink. All of these little acts, they seem little, but when you have that connection, when you know that you are doing something positive for that other person, that helps them feel like they matter. That helps us feel like we matter.
Dr. E, how do you mentioned something that's really interesting. How can you recognize fake mattering? And I say that because of your reference to it's not about social media likes, yet we have so many influencers, et cetera, who live for the like, but to me that must be fake mattering. And how do you recognize
that? Well, excellent point. So first of all, the way that I view mattering is a human need. We all, whether we conscientiously choose how we matter or it is an unconscious decision, we all matter. Just like we all eat. Some of us will choose healthy choices, some less healthy choices. So some of the less healthy choices on mattering, and again, this is mostly unconscious, are things like bullying. What does a bully do? A bully puts people down to feel better about themselves. I just got a really nasty comment on one of my videos, ironically, on mattering. And it's this person trying to feel better about themselves by putting me down. Intolerance. Any of you witnessing any intolerance lately? Like, those people are just trying to feel better about themselves. I'm right and you're wrong, so I feel superior.
Dr. E, let me just tell you right now, John and I are both New Yorkers, so we're going to check that comment and we will handle this for you, okay?
Yeah, we got it. Don't you worry.
That person is no longer. I am Pardo, so I have ties to the mafia too. No.
Yeah, there's something about kneecaps in there, Doc.
Oh my goodness.
But here's the thing. It's important that we understand that. Oh, and then going back to likes on social media, that's also one that probably I would call that conditional self-worth. Like, I feel good about myself if and only if these conditions are met. And so those are not the healthiest ways of mattering because, one, they are not rooted in who our authentic self is. Who are we? What are our core values, our strengths? Like, what makes us that unique human being on this earth right now? So understanding that, but then understanding most of that is an unconscious process. The conscious process is, how do I want to feel like I matter? Maybe it's serving others, it's volunteering, it's mentoring, it's, again, engaging in a hobby. It's connecting with nature with my four-legged son is right by my feet right now. So, you know, our people in our lives, and it's really looking at how can I feel like I matter and how can others feel like they matter because of me, but in that authentic, what I would call unconditional love and unconditional self-worth space.
Dr. E, this is a little bit of a tangent question, but it's popping in my head.
I love
Isn't that billet to Jana? is that why it's so difficult for us as human beings? Like, it's almost more painful for us to be ignored than to be criticized.
Oh,
that's so good.
Thank you.
Frankenberry, take that sound bite.
Mic drop on that. Yeah, because at least if we're criticized, we still matter. There are a couple songs that I listen to, and I can't think of any right now, of course, as I'm trying to. But, you know, where you hear like, you know, I'd rather have you be mean to me than not remember me.
Yeah.
Because then, yeah, that not mattering hurts more than if you do matter, just not in a positive way.
Okay, so let's go back to, you know, we love you. We can go all day with this, but let's go back to your latest book, The Mattering Advantage. You primarily wrote it for workplace. We've just had a fantastic discussion on how we can consciously put ourselves in a position to feel like we matter more, how we can understand other people to make them feel like they matter more, young teens, anybody. Let's talk about the application of this in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So engagement is such a buzzword. Everybody's working on how do we get more engagement. And you say in your book that when you focus only on engagement, that is the result. Engagement, and you're kind of putting your energy in the wrong place, that mattering is the cause. So can we speak to that angle?
Yeah. So engagement is you know, technically it's when people go above and beyond what they have to do. They aren't just doing what they need to do. They're saying, hey, I am invested in this team, in this organization, in our mission. And so I want to make the effort to make it more successful. In order to have that, though, people need to feel like they matter. And what I find a lot in organizations is, even if their engagement scores, at least initially, are doing okay, when I'm talking to people about mattering, they feel like they are replaceable. They feel like, even if they're like, hey, get the, hey, good job, they don't really feel like people truly appreciate what they are doing. So it's not just recognition, but it's knowing that, you know, here's the thing, belonging, we've heard about belonging before. Belonging is you belong here. Mattering is if you aren't here, we miss you. We've heard about the importance of psychological safety, to be able to express what you want. Mattering is not only you safe to do it, but we actually care. We're going to listen and we're going to apply what you have shared with us. So it really is a lot deeper. But again, with engagement, in order to be engaged, we need to feel like we matter. If I don't feel like I matter and I don't matter to the organization or the team, why would I ever put in any extra effort? That's where I call it the compliance illusion. They're doing their jobs, but if they don't feel like they matter, they're not going to speak up. If they see something, a problem, they're not maybe going to speak up and say, hey, here's a problem, let's fix it before it becomes a bigger problem. That's where mattering comes in.
Dr. E, can you share the example you give early on in your book? Was it Taco Bell? Was it the employee from Taco? Yeah. Can you talk about that? That's a perfect example of exactly what you're talking about.
Such a great example. So one of my mentors is Greg Creed, and he was kind enough to actually write the cover quote, but he shared with me this story. So Greg was the CEO of Yum, before that, the CEO of Taco Bell, before that, the CMO of Taco Bell. And one day he comes into this, you know, Taco Bell, and a woman who's in food engineering, her name is Lois, presents him with this really weird looking blob of like, it's a hexagon shaped thing. And he realized immediately what it was. It was basically a taco that had an outside shell. Now, they had never had anything like this. And one of the problems with Taco Bell at the time was the portability, right? A burger you can eat easily in the car. A taco, it's like a sloppy Joe with a crunch on both ends. So he realized immediately that this was going to change everything. And it did. And we'll talk about what it was. But he then asked Lois, when did you come up with this? And he figured she had come up with it that day, maybe the night before. She had presented this concept to five different leaders at Taco Bell before anyone did anything with it. So just spoiler alert, this became the Crunch Wrap Supreme. In the first 6 weeks, they sold 51 million units. They consistently sell billions of dollars every single year from this one creation. Why is this about mattering? Because one, she felt safe enough to tell him, but two, she knew that he would listen. Didn't matter that she wasn't on the, you know, C-suite, and that he would do something about it. That is mattering.
That's such a crazy story.
So good, right? So next time you go to Taco Bell, remember, this is all about mattering.
Great stuff. We're wrapping up here with Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, also known as Dr. E. She is the author of multiple books. The latest one is called The Mattering Advantage. Dr. E, if people want to piggyback on your wisdom, because you're brilliant and you're fun, buy your books, how do people follow you, get more of you, essentially?
Yeah, just join me on Instagram. We're trying to do a lot in terms of really getting this message out of what mattering is, how we can feel like we matter, and how we can share that with others. Because if you can imagine a world where people feel like they matter in healthy and helpful ways, that's the place I want to live.
No kidding.
Great.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, thank
congratulations
you. I always love
on
being
your
with
new
you
book.
All. You all always make me happy during our hour together.
We love talking with you. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, Doc, nice to talk to you again. And we are not done yet. We've got segment number 3 on the way. And Carol, who are we going to be talking to?
We are going to be talking to a local entrepreneur who owns an organic granola company. And she's friends with, guess who? Jeannie Kelly. but she's got a really interesting story. So when we come back, we will be talking with her, the entrepreneur, and her mother.
All right. That sounds good. For Jonna Spillborn, right. For Carol Pesci, I am this Frankenfella, and we will be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's happy hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's happy hour with Jonna and Carol.
Good morning. One more time, everybody. It's Jonna Spillborn. It's Carol Pesci. This fellow Frankenberry. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
Very well done, you two. Very well done. Very in, very in tune together. Chorus. I liked it. Yes, we had the doc back and talk about the mattering effect, which is new from her.
Advantage. Yeah, I love
advantage.
Her.
Sorry, yeah, we've known the doc for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, she always makes herself, she's kind of a big deal. I mean, she's like in the realm of Today Show, Shaquille O'Neal, she works with, like, but she always makes time for us. I love that.
And I love her energy, you know, and she's got her backstory is very, very interesting. Like, she's had some tragedy in her life.
Yeah. She's an impressive individual. And I like supporting her.
Yeah. You know, me too. She's great. We'd love to meet. You know, we rarely do. And we talk about doing it so much. And it just doesn't seem to happen. Like, there's so many of our guests that I would love to meet in person.
I know. Yeah.
You know, and have a drink and chat. Now, we have a few, but they're kind of like our guests that we do get to do that with. We're sort of our friends first and then guests second. But we have a lot of the opposite, like Sherry Lee, mm-hmm. like Dr. Lombardo. Like, I can name a bunch.
Dr. John McGrail. Yeah. Yep. That started as a guest and then became friends.
Yep. We gotta maybe 2027 on our 100th year anniversary
of doing the show.
That, you know what? That could be like, we could make it one of those like big holiday type get together movies, but it ends up being like a murder mystery, you know, where there's everybody gets together, you know, all the happy hour folks, and, you know, we meet in New York City or something, you know, to celebrate New Year's Eve, and all these guests that we've had over the years, only to find out
somebody disappears.
There you go.
That's funny. That could be fun.
That could work.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
see?
And that's exactly what happened. Muggsy is responsible.
Rabbit in the oven.
That's right. You. Yeah. You see? I know where the doctor is, but I ain't telling.
How many times do I gotta tell you not to play with the dirty money? Sorry. And what were you saying about, has anybody played what?
Any of the classic Bugs Bunny cartoons. Anybody catching them on cartoon? Like, I don't see them anywhere. And they were so classic.
You know why? Probably. They were
too violent.
Yeah, they were so classic, but like today, if you know, you run them through any kind of woke lens,
oh God,
they could be offensive. You know,
forget the Roadrunner.
Oh God.
Well, I can't wait for that movie though. That's that should be fun.
Oh God.
The Coyote versus Acme movie? That should be great.
They're so, making it?
It's already out.
No.
Yeah, it opened on Friday. You haven't seen any of the trailers, and it stars the guy from SNL, Forte, and John Cena.
No way.
Yeah, just Google Acme versus
oh my God.
Coyote versus Acme. Like I said, it's already out.
Jonna, yours and mine algorithm are so different than Frankenberry.
Yep.
All right. So that's what we got. So Doc Lombardo, thanks again to her and for Jonna Spilborg, for Carol Pesci. For me, I am the Frankenberry. We will be back again with a new show in a couple of weeks. We're gonna take Labor Day weekend off. We're gonna hit you with a rerun of what's his name? Jonna?
Kevin Trudeau.
Kevin Trudeau. We're gonna hit you with a rerun of that, and then back with a new show for the impending fall.
Yes.
Sounds good.
So join us then. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.